Hello, my name is Rosalind Lionheart, and I am a New Orleans musician, singer-songwriter. I play a half a dozen different instruments.
And we're talking because you have a big event coming up. What is that?
My 75th birthday. I've invited lots of friends, and some of them have actually said they're coming. I've invited friends from NOWEM, New Orleans Women in Music, and I've invited friends from Ladyfest, which is the organization I founded.
You're best known as one half of David and Rosalind, the musical street performing duo. How long have you two been playing together?
We were making music when we met. I was, David was playing the backup band, and he was in the Air Force playing trumpet. And I was in a group called Ladies and the Lord, three girls and a guy. We toured all over the United States. David was the most intelligent guy on the trips. That was the start of a 53-year relationship.
Yeah. What year was that?
59.
What led to you guys settling down in New Orleans?
We were both fans of New Orleans music since we were little kids, and reached the point we were traveling around with the kids a lot, and it reached the point where they were old enough that they had to be in school all year. They couldn't be off trucking with their parents unless we were going to homeschool them. And we had a choice between California schools where we were living or coming to New Orleans and doing music and going to school here. And there were, about that time, Autumn was in the Brownies.
Your daughter, Autumn.
And so the Brownies were calling her a nigger. And so I called the mothers and said, you know, like, we should get together and have a, you know, a discussion with the kids about, you know, how this is not good. And one of them says, oh, they're just being kids. It's not important. And I said, I think it's very important. She says, well, you shouldn't be thinking that it's very important, because it's not. And so I called other mothers, and I found that most of them were not the least bit interested and instructing their kids that it was rude to call people by that name. Now, when I was a little girl, what my mother taught me was, anybody called you nigger, beat the shit out of them. And actually, I really did that once. I was riding my bicycle by this kid's house, and he said, hi, nigger. And I jumped off the bike, beat him up, jumped back on my bike, and rode off. But I didn't want to introduce my children to that concept of, you know, that, you know, you got to beat him up. So I decided that it would be better to move to New Orleans, where people have a more intelligent concept of how to deal with the problem, that you can talk it out, that you can, you know, and actually, white folks down here are either sensitive enough or scared enough that they don't do that. Here you're more likely to be called names by black people than whites. So. But then you can deal with that too, because you can talk about it usually.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the kids are all grown up and gone, and we're still here.
So how did you guys actually end up making the transition to full-time street performers?
We wanted to do music because any other job that we had, we'd sort of gotten a music gig would come up, and we'd leave it, you know. And after a while, you get a pretty bad record. It's kind of hard to get any other kind of job.
Yeah.
And music doesn't always completely pay for itself. So
shocking.
We were looking for something else to do, and we found street performing worked. So, because if you left that for 6 months to go and tour, it didn't matter. You could come back and do street performing again. And in the meantime, it kept the bills paid enough. You weren't going to get rich at it, but I never really wanted to be rich. I only wanted to make a decent living with my music, and we've pretty much done that. I'm not sure that everybody would call it a decent living, but, you know, we've never really gone hungry. We've never been, you know, out of clothes. We pay the bills. And
what's the special appeal that playing on the street has for you? It must have something special, or you wouldn't still be doing it after all these years, right?
Children and old folks who don't go to clubs and don't go to concerts, and the little kids come up and they spin around and dance for you, and elderly folks come up and they sit and they listen, and, you know, it's fun. It used to be a bigger problem to be in nightclubs because of the smoking, but now that that's sort of cut down, you can play in restaurants without it. I like concerts. I like playing festivals. I like doing concerts. I'm not terribly fond of playing in bars, especially if they aren't going to pay you. I figure if I'm going to play without being paid, I might as well play on the streets. And that way, at least all the money goes in my pocket. It's not going into somebody else's. So, and sometimes it's really, really good. And sometimes it's really, really bad. And you never know when you go out the door which it's going to be. But as I said, it averages out to enough to pay your bills. And that's all you can ask for. And then you get a good concert, and then that makes, you know, extra money, or you sell a song, and I've sold a couple, and that gives you, you know, like a nice fat chunk of money, so mm-hmm. that's fun. Yeah. We sold my Kiss It and Make It Better to this hospital and HMO in London called Bupa, and they did this great big huge commercial, and they... We aren't seen in it, but we're singing in it.
An HMO in London, that's kind of an odd pairing, isn't it?
Yeah, they somebody heard our music on something or other, or somebody pitched it to them or something, anyhow.
Do you have a favorite original song of yours?
Well, we just recently recorded You Know They Would. People stop and ask me down the road away. Oh, do you think that they would crucify Jesus today? I said, you know they would. Long-haired hippie, well, you know they would. Wearing sandals and a dress, well, you know they would. I said, you know they would. So that's one of my favorites. And of course, Kiss It and Make It Better, which is the one that sold. I really like that a lot. Our songs have a tendency to be not, you know, like, My lover left me because he didn't. He's still here.
What's the dynamic of your street performing act? You and David have a sort of different roles that you play when you're playing music.
Ebb and flow. Really, that's a persona that we sometimes play with for just goofing. And David's ebb and I'm flow. Our main thing is that we want to play the music and we want to play it so that it sounds good. We want to play it so that it makes us feel good, and we want to play it so it makes other people feel good. And if it makes them feel good enough to give us money, then that's, you know, that's just sort of like, all right, hey, it's the icing on the cake. But the cake is that we get to play.
You guys have been performing together as a couple for years and years now, of course. What sorts of difficulties or obstacles have you guys run into in your performing life?
Well, the one that we didn't really see ever, but agents have told us about, is that there are people still in 2013 that object to the interracial couple, which I thought was all over, you know, that people had gotten all over that way back when. I remember when David and I were first going together, his captain called my captain and told her that he was just playing with me. He was just doing it for what he could get, and that she should warn me to stay away from him. And so she called me in to do that. And so I called David up on the phone and told him what was happening. So David called my commanding officer and came in and met her and told her that he was in love with me. He intended to marry me, and that he had told his captain that. And the captain told him that he had to tell his parents, or the captain was going to tell his parents. And David had wanted to, you know, ease them into it. And instead, he wound up alienating them. So I cost him about $1 million because I disinherited him for marrying me.
Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah. So he says, I'm worth it.
You must think so.
I think he's nuts, but you know, it's all right. I love him anyway. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, that's a long way from my party.
Oh, yeah. Back to the party. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you guys have planned?
We plan to party hardy. We plan to have people have lots of food. We plan to have lots of music. The last time I gave a party for myself, it was for my 20th birthday.
Wow.
Because I wanted to have a birthday party before at a bar, at a club, before it was legal. And we were still in Texas in the Air Force.
So what do you guys have planned music-wise for the party?
Yeah, we expect, we have musicians coming to play, yeah. But as far as what we're going to sing, or, you know, I guess everybody will sing Happy Birthday.
Yeah, but you guys are going to do a little music of your own?
Oh, yeah, we'll do probably at least half an hour or so of music.
Well, Rosalind, it's a little early, but happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah.